When Tony asked me to share this afternoon, he said, just share your heart, nothing more. So that's what I'm going to try and do. Some scripture, some thoughts, a little bit of sharing of where my journey's taken me, and some prayer, because prayer is always good. 1 Timothy chapter 1 tells us, here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners.
Amen.
He goes on to say, of whom I am the worst. And I guess we would all feel that we could say that. Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea. A great high priest whose name is love, whoever lives and pleads for me. I love the fact that God says, not that he is loving, or that he does say he loves us, but he says he is love. That is God's nature. That is who and what he is. And the plea that I have is strong and it's perfect, not because I'm in any way perfect, although thanks to Jesus we're being made perfect, but because the one who pleads for me is perfect. And in him, we have that ability, that right, if you like, that is given by him to come to him and to plead for our lives, for our salvation. And he gives because he's good. Hebrews 7 tells us he's able to save completely those who come to God through him. Completely. Nothing is left out. Everything that we've done, everything that we've been, everything is included. There is nothing within our lives that is any surprise to God. There's never going to be a point in the future where he says, oh, I didn't bargain on that one. Nope, you're out now. No, he's able to save completely. He always lives to intercede for us. And it says that such a high priest truly meets our need. And I want to say a little bit more about that later. One who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. This is a God who is above and beyond anything that we could think or imagine. You know, the religions of this world, they make God in their image. We are made in the image of the only true God. And we can be thankful that because of Jesus, we've been brought back into that image. The image that was marred and shattered and spoiled is now the image that God is bringing us back into through the cross. My name is graven on his hands. Not with the nails, but with love. My name is written on his heart, and the thrust of that spear cannot erase it. It's there for eternity. I know that while in heaven he stands, no tongue can bid me thence depart. People may judge, and I'm sure we've all been in situations where people have judged us and criticized us and questioned our motives and all of those things, but they don't have any power over our life. Satan may accuse. Now, funny little thing I'll share with you. Whenever I write Satan, bear in mind that I work in a school. We're very hot on capital letters in school. But whenever I write Satan, it's the only name that never gets a capital letter when I write it, because I don't think he deserves it. Yeah. Satan may accuse, but he cannot prevail.
Amen.
And we are told in Romans 8, and I believe it, sure you do, I am convinced, absolutely 100% convinced, that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present, nor the future, and we none of us know what that holds, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation, nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God. And that love of God is in Christ. He is our Saviour. This is our faith. This is the hope I have. This is the hope you have. This is the love that God has given us. When Satan tempts me to despair, tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there who made an end to all my sin. I've been focusing quite a lot lately on the armour of God. I have something going on in my life at the moment that I am battling, and I will win. Not because I'm going to win, but because Christ in me has won the war. Amen. And as I was reflecting on the armour of God, I was kind of focusing on the helmet of salvation. And it's been pretty cold this week. I've been out on playground duty quite a lot, and it's bitter. And I've seen some of our children coming out with those lovely fluffy earmuffs on. And I thought, yeah, you know what? The helmet of salvation, yes, it's the helmet of salvation. We know that we are saved because God tells us so. But it's also a pretty effective pair of earmuffs when it comes to the accusations of Satan. We don't have to listen, folks. We don't have to. Upward I look and see him there. He made an end of all my sin. Titus tells us he saved us. Past tense, and it's finished. Not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. I'm so glad that I have his Holy Spirit dwelling in me, because I know what a lump of jelly I would be without him. There's no way that I could live this life without Jesus in me. And I'm sure you feel the same way. So he saved us, past tense, but he also saves us continually, washes us continually. Salvation, in a sense, is ongoing. Ephesians tells us that Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her. And he continues to cleanse us at the cross, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. When we come to the cross, when we come to the word of God, when we come to him, all those smudges and smuts and the things that get on us because of life, we can be washed, we can be pure, we can be made clean again. Upward I look and see him there who made an end to all my sin and continues to wash those smuts away day by day. Because the sinless Saviour died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. I am justified. You are justified. It's just as if I'd never sinned. And I love that little definition of it. Christ suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. And I don't know about you, but when I meditate on that, the Son of God, the one who was with the Father in the heavenlies, who had no idea experientially what sin was, and yet was prepared to come to suffer, not just physically, but to take on himself all of that sin, all of that filth, all of that disgusting, wicked, evil, because of you, because of me, because he loves us. All of our sin, our wickedness, our filth, our evil, taken away, nailed to the cross, and all of his righteousness, his faith, his life, his love, given freely to us, we have become the righteousness of God. His gift. For many, many years, I could never have imagined myself doing what I'm doing this afternoon. For many years, I lived far too much of my life in self-condemnation. If I got it wrong, I was awful, I couldn't be a Christian, it's dreadful, I'm not really saved, I've failed, I've messed up, I haven't reached the mark, I'm not good enough, I. And you know what? It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about him. Up would I look and see him there. All too often, I completely missed the significance of one little word. It's only a little word, but it's absolutely peppered throughout the Word of God. Behold him there, the risen Lamb, my perfect spotless righteousness, the great unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace. John 1 tells us, from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. And I just have that mental picture of, grace just being piled in and piled on and overflowing and just, you know, there's never too much grace. It never stops. It's a bit like the magic porridge pot, you know, when the porridge just keeps coming and it overflows and it runs down the road and it affects everybody. And that's the grace of God. It affects everybody with whom it comes into contact. It's not about us. It's about him. The great high priest who is our advocate, grace. My name written on his hands, his heart, grace. When Satan accuses me, grace. His righteousness for my unrighteousness, grace. It's all about him, our King of glory and of grace. Last year, I've been keeping a journal for many years now, and for a number of years, I've been sort of praying for a word each year that would help to guide my year. Last year's word, and this was before COVID, was grace, strangely enough. And I couldn't let it go this year. When I was praying, you know, Lord, what's the word for this year? So I've kept it. I've added to it, but I've kept it. It's still grace. And let's face it, next year it will be grace, and the year after it will be grace, because grace never ends. Grace never has a finish. So my word for this year is grace. It's also a phrase, I cheated. Walking by the Spirit, because when we know and we live in his grace, then we live walking by his Spirit, learning to be more like him, walking in the power that makes us more like him, walking in the power that gives us faith to live and to believe. My journal will make interesting reading this year. One with himself, I cannot die. My soul is purchased by his blood. My life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ, my Saviour and my God. When I was reflecting on this, I was probably inevitably thinking about fairly recent events and, you know, having lost Dad 3 years ago now, almost. Mum last year, You know, I was thinking, one with himself, I cannot die. I had the privilege of being with both mum and dad as they left this life. And I'll kind of use dad as an example here. About half an hour before he left, I refuse to use the word died, his breathing changed, became much slower. Those of you who have been involved with this, you'll know, became much slower. And he actually literally started groaning with every breath. And we were a little bit concerned at first that maybe he was in pain, but he wasn't. He was quite calm, quite peaceful. And when I was reflecting on that, I was looking at 2 Corinthians. And chapter 5 has this to say. While we are still in this tent, this body, we groan, being burdened. Not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. And then a couple of verses later, we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. And that's where mum and dad are. They're away from the body, they're at home with the Lord. Others whom we've lost from this earth this year, they're away from the body, but they're at home with the Lord. And for us who remain, our life is hidden with Christ in God. Colossians tells us, and when Christ, who is our life, appears, we also will appear with him in glory. There will be a reuniting between those who are asleep in Christ and those of us who still live on this earth. There'll be a reuniting in Christ. It's all in Christ. And I look forward to that day. My name is written on his heart. My sinful soul is counted free. One with himself, I cannot die. The King of glory and of grace. Abba, Father, we thank you that you are the King of glory and of grace. We give you thanks that in you we have resurrection, life in you, we have renewal, we have faith and hope and love. We thank you that you are all in all, and that as we look to you, you wash us, you cleanse us, you lead us, you guide us. You are all that we need. We give you thanks and praise for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.